Well, as you might remember, the Seavers are the ones that one of the families that we targeted for our Christmas offering for Jesus, and we were able to send, I don't remember the amount, Bert would know, but the amount up to re-sheet rock that building, take some of that down that was falling, and then re-insulate. And so we are thankful to have an opportunity to be a part of that. And so we want to try to do as good a job as we can getting money out, as I've already mentioned, because that's where it needs to be out to get the work done. Let me go over a few prayer requests, and then we'll have the ladies play something through, and we can pray together. But we're praying for these different needs here. Of course, we're praying for the family of Brother Jimmy Rose, our missionary that we have mentioned that passed away. So pray for his wife and his son and all the family as they're traveling in. And then we're praying also for the Bolin family and the death of Christy Bolin. And many of you know who that is, and so I want you to be praying for that family. We're praying for Brother Doug, Miss Ellen Krause. Miss Ellen's brother passed away up in Oregon, so I want you to keep her in your prayers. And of course, we're praying for Brother Doug as well with breathing issues, and so I want you to pray the Lord will keep him strong and keep his breathing ability up, and please keep him in your prayers. We're also praying for Amanda Castle and the loss of her grandmother, and I was able to talk with her recently and just let her know we were praying. And continue to pray for Miss Beverly Lovegrove, had knee surgery and is doing well and has already been started with physical therapy and rehab, so please keep her in your prayers, that the Lord would just give her a good recuperation, and that would get behind her soon. And then we're continuing to pray for Miss Carol Farguson, recovering from her stay in the hospital. And keep her in your prayers. And then others that we're on our prayer list are Brother Tom Farrell, the evangelist, been here before. Of course, you know that he's now battling cancer again and not looking very good. So keep he in your prayers, if you would. And then continue to pray for our long cancer list that you know we have. The Sailors, keep Brother Johnny Sailor and different folks on there. Praying for Katie Button. This is Brother Mickey's granddaughter, and has some health issues going on, and so hopefully going to get some more testing and things. And so I want you to keep Katie in your prayers. Then on your prayer list, you know, we're praying for Brother Harold Webb up at the hospital at Holston Valley. And we're praying also for our shut-in of the week, Miss Annie Benane, and there's contact information if you want to call the church. And then we're praying for Miss Corky DeBusk over at the Four Oaks in Jonesboro, and praying for many others, our active military, praying for Matthew Hayes tonight, praying for Brent Scroggs, and praying for our government officials. And we've got many in there that we're praying for. I want you to pray for the bus ministry. We thank God for the work that was done this past week, and we're praying, and that is such a ministry that needs our prayers. If you're not on the bus anymore, maybe you used to be, you never have been, whichever, but we certainly need you to pray for our bus ministry, pray for our bus workers, and Lord would raise up more, but then also give us fruit for the labor as well. And so we're thankful for the opportunity to pray. And so those are some of the prayer requests. I want you to pray for Debbie Deacons. She is tomorrow going to Duke, possibly doing a bone marrow biopsy. We'll see when she gets down there, so keep Miss Debbie in your prayers if you would. And then we're continuing to pray for Miss Trish Galf, that the Lord would just strengthen her, ongoing health issues there. I want you to keep Trish in your prayers. And then we're also praying for Miss Pat Shaw, that the Lord would just strengthen her, especially even tonight. And so you keep her lifted up in prayer, that the Lord would do something special there. And maybe you have an unspoken tonight. You've got something that the Lord would know as we lift it to Him. You'd say, I've got an unspoken, something heavy on my heart I'd like to pray for. All right. Well, we will certainly pray and take those to the Lord, because He knows each and every one of them. I want you to pray for Miss Teresa Payne's dad, Bobby Robinson, a faithful pastor, and but just many health issues with him and his wife. And so we certainly want to keep them lifted up in prayer. And so we've got so many to pray for. Brother Steve Alcorn's, his surgery is moved. And so we'll pray that that's postponed just a little bit, but keep Steve in your prayers if you would. And we've got such a long list there, but we're thanking the Lord that He is able. So what we're going to ask you to do is, if you've got your family here, you want to pray together, maybe pray for yourself or however you want to do it, but the ladies will play something softly through, and then we'll just lift these names up to the Lord in prayer. This is an old-fashioned prayer meeting, and there's some things heavy on your heart, just bring them to the Lord. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, thank you. Our missionary, Brother Billy Ford, his wife's sister passed away. And so they are coming in. They should be in tonight sometime. They were in Atlanta flying through. And so I want you to pray for Miss Ford's family. And her and her daughter coming this way. And so I want you to be praying for that family if you would. So thank you. All right. Well, let's do this. They're going to play something through. You pray together, and we'll know it's the end of this part of the service. Brother Dan will come up in just a little bit and pray over the microphone, and then after that we'll sing another song together. But let's take this little time to pray and seek the Lord.
You've asked us to let our prayers, our supplications, our requests be made known unto you with thanksgiving. So we bring these names, we bring these families, these situations, the sicknesses, recoveries, we bring all this to you, knowing that you are an almighty, all-powerful God. We thank you for that. We thank you for the privilege that we have to lift these names and these requests to you. And we are thanking you for what you're going to do in each and every one of these lives and these situations. And Lord, you said that if we were to do that, then your peace, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So we thank you for that tonight. We thank you for your peace, and we thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for each and every one of us and for the entire world. And Lord, we thank you for all of our missionaries. We thank you for those, Lord, that have been faithful, those that we've been able to have a small part in them winning souls around the world. We pray for those that are suffering, those missionary families that are suffering tonight, a loss of a loved one. Lord, we just pray for them, and comfort them, and be with them. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to sing this hymn, God Will Take Care of You. That first verse.
Thank you so much. We're getting right into the scriptures this evening. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll look at the first 9 verses of this chapter. And if you got one of the handouts in your way in, then you can certainly follow along there if that's a blessing to you. We're going to look at these 9 verses and then we'll fill the blanks in as you go through and trust that we'll get something from the Word of God tonight. Therefore, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, as you know, the Word of God is inspired. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so the Lord moved upon men, in this case, the Apostle Paul. But it also was a very specific personal message to these people who were reading it. You say, how did all that come together? I don't know. You can't figure out God. But it was a personal message to the people who were reading it. But it's also the inspired Word of God and has been passed down through the ages and been preserved. And we're thankful you got a copy of it right there laying in your lap. And so we're thankful for all of that. And you say, how does all that jive? How does all that come together? Well, the Lord may tell us one of these days. He might not. But I'm just saying, as you listen to it tonight, and look at it, there were people in Philippi reading the words in different language at that point, of course, but reading the words as they were written by their apostle to them. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. He goes on to say, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You notice the sentiments there. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. May I just remind you that all those ones that didn't get named in the book here, Paul says they're in the book of life. And so our names are recorded, and even if those, some of those names that helped him didn't get recorded in Scripture here, in recorded in the book of life is good enough for me. I rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he's getting ready to close here. He's got a little bit more to go. But finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely and a good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have seen or learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I want to preach for a little while tonight, just teach through this passage about peace with others and with the Lord, without and within. And so we're just going to work our way down through the passage here and trust that it'll be a blessing. Look at verse 1 again as we make our way. Dearly beloved, he really did have a genuine love for these people. Somebody said it like this, true friends are the ones that give you a shoulder to cry upon. Those are good friends. But best friends are the ones with the shovel to hit the person who made you cry. So these people were good friends, the apostle. And he says, dearly beloved, he's got a genuine love for these people. And he had a love for them, and that drove them to care how they turn out, because he says, my joy and my crown. He was expecting rewards for them, to have rewards in heaven because of the winning those to Christ and maybe seeing them discipled, so to speak, and seeing them grow. You're a real blessing to me. And there's people, as the Brother Pritchard mentioned earlier tonight, that there are people that in his life that have helped him get to where he is. But then what he didn't share is there's lots of people on the other side that have looked up to him and say, wow, that person, Brother Paul did this and Brother Paul did that, and he looks at those folks as a joy and a crown. They're a joy just to think about. And so he says, though, stand fast in the Lord. I want you to get down to verse number 2, because I want you to see there's the peace without, or that peace without, meaning that all those people that you're around, you're supposed to have peace going out from you out to everybody. And some we get the joy of impacting. They're that joy in the crown. And then in verse number 2, some of them we labor with. As look here, we see, I beseech Iodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. Apparently, there's a little problem here that's need to be addressed. And sometimes we just glaze right over when the Word of God says. Look again in verse number 2. If you were thinking what's happening between Iodius and Syntyche, or however you say that name, we don't know what's happening, but something's obviously they're at odds one with the other. Else why would he say they need to have the same mind? Meaning they're apart and they have some differences, but they need to be together. And so isn't it nice to know that this church isn't the only one that had some people that don't get along all the time? Of course, not the people come on Wednesday night, everybody in here gets along, but some of those other folks, right? And so here we see that he's trying to correct a little bit. He's saying apparently these two weren't getting along. They had some differences. And you know, the truth of the matter is everybody in the church is different. God doesn't need Xerox copies that everybody be alike, you know, that they just walk out like little soldiers out the doors in their car and get all of us are different. You don't have to be a uniform Christian necessarily to say, oh, I've got to do it exactly like everybody else does. But there ought to be some things that are the same. We certainly ought to have the same love. We ought to have the same compassion. We ought to have the same care one for another. We ought to bear one another's burdens. So there's a lot of things we should do alike. So you don't have to be uniform necessarily, but we certainly ought to have unity. Just like your family, every child that you have, if you have two or three or four, however many you have, every one of them's different. And they may not all have to march to the same exact drum because everybody's going to be their own individual. But they all ought to have love for family. They all ought to stick up for one another. They all ought to honor mom and dad. They all ought to pull their own weight. There are a lot of things that they should have similarities on. And so here we see that he's correcting some differences amongst these people, that they need to have the same mind of the Lord. And then we're going to go on. We see that not only is he looking there with some that the peace without, but then we see as we go on down in verse number 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Now you got to understand that when the first time the scripture was given here, ladies were not held in the proper position that they should be. Many people would look down upon them and many folks would not count them as equal and all the rest of it. And so here the apostle is used of God, and he's not a male chauvinist like some people would say that he may have been in writings and different things. He is somebody saying, I entreat thee and help those women who labored with me. There's many, many churches where I come from in West Virginia, and they're still open tonight because of some ladies that were godly and ladies that would step up to the plate and keep it going even when some of the men wouldn't. You say, well, there should have been a man that stepped in. That's right. Just like it's a few times in Scripture when no men would step up, God would use ladies in positions that he had reserved for men. And my point being here, the Apostle Paul is saying, we want to, the true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. And many times in Scripture you'll see that men are used, and many times in Scripture you'll see that ladies are used, and God is willing to use, or willing, desirous to use all of us. And so here we see that we have this help that the apostle wants to give to these ladies who were a help to him. So I want you to move on down, if you will, in verse number 4, as we look now not only at the peace without, as we're looking out to people, my brethren, love longed for and joy and crown, beseech all those people what to do. But I want you to look at verse number 4. Now he's going to take an inward turn and look at this peace within. We ought to have a peace within. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Like one old preacher said, if God cared enough to say it once, that ought to be enough. But when he says it twice, that really ought to tell us something. And so he says, again, I say rejoice. I wonder sometimes how good of an advertisement we are for the Lord. Would the people that aren't saved sometimes act like they're having a better time in life than I am? I hope not. Because, folks, if all that we preach and all that we say and all that we teach is true, then you ought to be the happiest people around in the whole earth. Much happier than the people that we might watch on TV that are going about their lives and living this way and that way, that just totally ignore God and don't have any thoughts of the Almighty. We ought to be the happiest people around. But sometimes you have to admit, us Christians are not a good billboard. We're miserable, sorry somebodies. We act like our lip is going to drag the floor, and we just act like there's nothing ever as good going to happen. I'm just trying to tell us, the Bible says, rejoice. He says, I don't have much to rejoice about. Well, that's why he gives you what to? Rejoice in the Lord. I don't care how bad your life is. I do care, but I don't care as far as you getting off the hook for rejoicing. You're still supposed to rejoice. You say, Brother John, but I got all these problems. Yes, so does a lot of folks. But I've got this, I've got this. But if we've got the Lord, we've got something to rejoice about. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, these bars and different places have happy hours when they'll sell drinks at a lower price than they usually do. Why? Because they need to do something, because that alcohol can't in and of itself produce any lasting joy. It may help them forget their problems for a little bit, and that happy hour that's a reduced rate will let them get some of that alcohol they shouldn't be drinking to begin with, just to forget some problems. But my friend, we don't need the alcohol. We don't need the other things. We need the Lord, and that's why the Scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And not only should we have that joy and that rejoicing, but we also ought to, verse number 6, be careful or worry about nothing. The verse I skipped over just tells us to let our moderation, or that's our self-control, be known unto all men. In case you all of us have some issues with different things that we don't control ourselves. Maybe it's somebody's anger. Maybe it's somebody else's loose tongue. Maybe it's somebody else's inappropriate viewing. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. But the Bible says, let your moderation, that self-control, be known unto all men. It ought to be known as you go about work and as you go about school or wherever you go that there's something different about him. He's got some self-control, some moderation. And in case we have to worry about, I don't know how to keep hold of myself. Well, the Bible says it at the end of the verse. Always the Scripture gives you the answer. In case you're having trouble controlling yourself, controlling your tongue, controlling your anger, controlling some bitterness, controlling all this, the Bible says, let your moderation, your self-control be known. Why? Because the Lord's at hand. One of these days, we're going to stand before him, give an account for how we lived after we got saved. And so we want to stand there with joy and rejoicing. And so that ought to drive us to let our moderation be known. We see that the peace that's within first starts off with joy. But then it continues with the lack of worry. You're being careful for nothing. Don't worry in verse number 6. And then it goes on to say in verse number 7 and verse number 8. Verse number 7 talking about the peace of God. But then verse number 8 gives you those things to think about. Think on these things. Now if God tells you what to do, he obviously by inference tells you what not to do. So everything that's in this verse, think on those. The things that are opposite of that, don't think on those. So the list just doubled for all of us. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. So if we were a class, if we're supposed to think on the things that are true, what are we not supposed to think on? The things that are what? False. Well, we'd have to turn a lot of the news off because a lot of that's false, I'm sure. We'd have to stop listening to some of our friends because they always have a big tale. It's good, exciting, and juicy. It just lacks one thing, the truth. Like one preacher, one preacher said, oh, he never lets the truth get in the way of a good story. So, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. So that means if they're true and they're honest, then the opposite would be dishonest and dishonorable. So whatsoever things are true. And so we see here the things to think on. We are our own worst enemy. Do you understand? There's a reason why some of us are miserable. Because we're just sitting there wallowing. Right? Wallowing. You know what that is, right? Wallowing. We're sitting there wallowing. If you don't know, that's just like picture a pig just riding out a little spot in the mud there. Wallers out there. We sit there and we waller in things that we ought not to be. We sit there and wonder and worry and fret and things that aren't honest, things that aren't true, things that aren't lovely, things that aren't pure, things that don't have a good report, things that aren't virtuous, things that aren't praiseworthy. And I don't have to have you raise your hand because we're all humans in here and we all have that tendency to let our minds spin about all kinds of things that are the opposite of what's in this verse. But the Bible says it tells us the things to think on. And so now with that in mind, I want you to look back at verse number 8 and see whether this describes you. All right, we ready? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Am I feasting my mind and my thoughts on the truth of the Word of God, but then also true sayings and righteous sayings and good sayings. Whatsoever things are honest, am I feasting my eyes and feasting my mind and feasting my meditations on things that are honest? What about things that are just? What about things that are pure and lovely and good report and virtuous and praiseworthy? Am I doing that? I don't want you to answer, but I do want you to answer to the Lord. Because the Bible says not only did He give us the ways that we're supposed to have peace without, the Apostle Paul says, my dearly beloved, my brethren, my joy, my crown, those people without, he said, boy, all those people, don't forget to thank those ladies, they were a huge help. He's talking about how to deal with those people without. But then he turns around and says, listen, here's who needs the most work. And number one, he says, have a good testimony, yes, but then don't worry, verse number six. And then dwell on these things. Meditate, muse, think, wonder on them, ponder on them. Just let them mull around up in there. Think on these things. And so we've got the peace within. I'm telling you, friends, I believe that we're losing the battle in our mind long before we ever lose it in our actions. You see somebody, you see him like I do. You know, Luke Randall told me the other day, he said, well, I was at Food City, and he was there. I said, how's it going? He said, it's going good. He said, well, about 11 or 12 o'clock in here, it kind of gets wild. And they say, if you want to know what a town is like, he's not at Walmart, but Food City. He said, if you want to know what a town's like, go to Walmart about midnight. That tells you who the people are. You see them like I do, people that just let somebody have it both barrels, da, 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 and they just cuss them out and yell out. Well, they didn't just come up with that all of a sudden and think about all that stuff. That's things they've been wanting to say for a long time. Well, let's just get real tonight. How many of you all ever let somebody have it? I'm not talking about cussing. Maybe you did that too, but we'll save that for later. And you know what happens when you really let somebody have it? You know what you say? You say a lot of the stuff you've been thinking for a long time. You just didn't have the guts or the courage to say it before. But then you finally had enough is enough is enough, and you got to the last straw, you got to the end of it, and you said, this is enough. And so you just, you let them have it. And then at the end you say, well, where'd that come from? Well, that come from all those thoughts you've been having for a long time. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so that's why the Word of God tells you and me, think on these things. Think on these things. And that way we can, instead of losing the battle, we can prepare for the battle and we can have the victory because of the peace that's within. Think on these things. And lastly, I give you this verse number 9. We'll see the example to follow. Those things which you've both learned, some things you've learned, you've received, some things you've received. That's your little blank there if you want to fill it in. Some things you've received. I'm to put these things on here. Some good books, and there's good information. There's good things. You've received those things. Some things you've heard. I've heard people here tell me ever since I got here, well, Preacher Lassie preached this message about this. Brother Jody always preached about this. Or what? Some things we hear. God's allowed us to have the great capacity to bring all those things in. He says, some things you've learned, some things you've received, some things you've heard. And then he goes on to say, and then you've some things you've seen in me. And the apostle says to them, all those things that you've received, all those things you've learned, all those things you've heard and seen, do them. You know what we're responsible to do with? We're responsible to do all those things that God has blessed us to experience up until now. I don't have to ask you to raise your hand, because hopefully everybody in this building tonight would have somebody you say, that person has been a great spiritual influence on me, and he does not go to this church. He's not this pastor. He never has been a pastor here. He's just somebody. Hopefully all of us have some of those. And so we have been blessed, folks. And we've got a great capabilities now because the internet is so free with bad stuff too, but a lot of good stuff. You can get on there and you can study all kinds of things. There are wonderful resources out there that all of us can just feast on, from the Word of God to preaching to teaching to seminars and all of that. And we see here that he tells the folks here in this verse, those things which you've received, that you've learned, that you've heard and you've seen, you've watched me do, there you watch me, do all those. And my friend, I'm a big believer that what we know, we're responsible to do something with it. There's a lot of people in this world that aren't near as accountable as we are. Because many of us, we grew up in good homes. You know you're supposed to be nice. You know you're supposed to be kind. You know you're supposed to share love. You know you're supposed to do all these things. And so we know those because we've been exposed to them. We know those because we've seen them. We've received them. We've heard them. Somehow we got them. And so now, as the apostle says here, all those things, do them. So what are you supposed to be doing? All the things you know to do. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. We always think the sins is when you go do something that is wrong. Wow, boy, if you ever went out there and just went out to one of those bars and just got drunk and lived that way, boy, that'd be a bad sin, wouldn't it? Well, yeah, that would be. But you know, the Bible also says if we know we're supposed to do something and we don't do that, God says that's also a sin. Means when God puts somebody on my heart and says, John, you ought to go do that. You ought to go witness to them. You ought to go share the gospel with him. You ought to go help a brother out. You ought to go do that. And I say, oh, I don't have time right now. I'll do it later. You understand the Lord doesn't go to any trouble, but if I'm using that slang or that phrase, if God goes to the trouble of convicting me of it, don't you think he wants me to do it? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And so we see here that those things all, however we got them all, we're supposed to do them. And so I leave you with this tonight, that we have this passage of Scripture that shows us to have peace without, to those people with, out and about. All those ones in verse number 2, Eudeus, Syntyche, the women that helped me, give them some honor, give them some help, the dearly beloved, those ones I've longed for, my joy, my crown. He shows us how to behave toward those that are out. But then he shows us how to have peace within. Don't sit around worrying about all the things that could happen, would happen, sufficient on the days of the evils thereof. Let God worry about those things as if he worried, but... Like one lady said, oh, give it to God. He's up all night anyway, so. Peace within by not worrying. Be careful. That phrase just means worried. Worry about nothing. Be careful for nothing. But instead, if I could say it like that, but in everything, if you want to say, well, I want to know how not to worry. I want to know how not to worry. But in everything, so be careful for nothing, but, so the opposite of, so you don't want to worry. So be careful for nothing, but instead of that, do everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving to God, and let your request be known. So you don't want to worry? Do the end part of the verse. You will either do the first part of that verse or the last part of it, one or the other, I guarantee you. You will either worry, fret, and be concerned, and some of us have more trouble than others, so that's not a put down. You will either be careful, you'll be fretful, you'll be worried, you'll be anxious, or... If you're not going to be that way, then the only way it's going to happen is you're going to have to be in everything by prayer. Why worry when you can pray? You've heard me tell before that fellow went to the doctor, and the doctor was not necessarily a great religious man, but he did understand and he did reverence the Lord, and it was at the end of his ability. He said, well, all we can do is pray. And then their patient said, oh my, has it come to that? Sometimes we pray as a last resort. But we ought to pray as the first response. And so we see here how to have the peace without, the peace within, and then an example to follow. I trust that the Lord has done something in your heart tonight. Let's pray together. Brother Dan, why don't you come? And he's going to pray for us just in a little bit. But before that, the ladies will play something through. And as they play, and you pray, if God's done something in your heart tonight, I want you to make sure that you do business with the Lord. As they find their way to the piano and the organ and play something through, we'd never try to high pressure anybody, but I believe there's a lot of good Christians who are worried about so many things in life. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's not like taking a pill and boom, it's fixed. It's a struggle. It's work. But be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Folks, I believe we need to be praying more, worrying less. I believe we need to have more peace without to those people who were around. But that's probably going to start when we have peace within, when we think on the things that we're supposed to. Whatever your need is tonight, I challenge you to do business with the Lord. Would you stand together as they play? Whatever your need is tonight, if you're here and you're a Christian, you need to just meet with the Lord, then, and you want to come to the altar, you're welcome to. There's plenty of space. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. I did not preach on that, but you're not sure that you're saved. I invite you to come. That's our heart's cry, that everybody would be a born-again believer. If you need help with that, we'd certainly be glad to. Whatever your need is, I invite you to come.
Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for your peace. And thank you for the peace that passeth all understanding. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless your word this evening, and that you would be with each and every one of us respectively as we turn to our homes. Bring us back on Sunday. Lord, and I pray that we might be a great witness these next few days for you. Use us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.